This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. Excuse me. Okay, I knew this was going to happen. I ran in to help with the church. And then I needed a couple of more things for the costume tomorrow. So I ran over to Walmart. And then it was the end of my fast. But I had to go to the bank. So I got some stuff. Carbs included. And I ate it while I was going over to the bank. And then I set up the thing. And I thought to myself, you know what? You're going to get that carb clog here in about 5 minutes. And it's going to sound like you've got COVID. I don't think I have COVID, but who knows? But I do have a little carb clog at the moment. But we'll get that worked through. So anyways, been a good week. Been able to get a lot of good stuff done this week in terms of work. And we're quasi on schedule. It's not, you know, a few little things here and there. We've got a big project that just kind of came in from the side. And so as soon as I get through with my current project, which is in the next week-ish or so, I'm swinging over to that one. And probably be on that one for multiple months. Maybe through about 1st of April. So, but that's okay. It's like I tell the people I answer to, you know, it's all just billable hours to me. So whatever you want done, I will do. So anyways, but all is well there. We're doing good. All is fine. I'm on chapter 10, I think, of book 14. I'm starting to get stuff back from the beta readers, so that's all good. And that all seems to be going fine. Tomorrow is celebration of Halloween. Tomorrow and Saturday. Have breakfast both days. Looking forward to seeing my friends again. And the costume is fabulous. It's just fabulous. I just love this costume. It's so great. It's just so great. So I'm hoping that everybody will enjoy it. I could just pretty much guarantee that they would. I just can't imagine that people won't enjoy this. So it's going to be fun. The only problem with it at all is it is wide and it is a non-trivial amount of girth. So I'm just going to have to be really careful as I move around that I'm not knocking things off the shelf and all that kind of stuff. I'll be fine in Walmart. I don't think there'll be any problem in Walmart. But the restaurants, that's going to be the thing, the restaurants. So I've already advised the people who are going to breakfast with me that I may need a spotter. And they all said, yes, that's fine. So they're going to be looking out for me. So it should be fun. Family's good. All is well. My mother-in-law is still living with us. Probably we're tentatively planning for her to be with us through the end of the year. Because her knee is healing. But of course, she's 87, I think. So things take a little longer. But she seems to be adjusting to the situation, and so we're doing good. That's all fine. We do have a ramp. The ramp came in. The ramp's good. We can get her in and out of the house using the ramp. She finally got a wheelchair. So that's all good. And, you know, things are just puttering along. I think I had my third close call with COVID, although I need to write a friend. Find out what his situation ended up being. So way back in March, I had a breakfast with some friends on like March the 16th. No, March the 6th, I think it was. March the 6th. And the very next week, I heard that one of them had come down with a bad case of COVID. He was in hospital for a long time. And it was touch and go for a long time. I mean, weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. He was on a ventilator for a while. I mean, just really not good. And for a while there, I was like, you know, so I was kind of waiting to see what was going on. I was trying to decide, do I just need a quarantine? I think I did. I stayed away 1 week from Walmart because I just didn't know. The next Friday, I think. The next Friday probably was Leprechaun Day. I did that. But then it was the next Friday that all of a sudden, you know, he came down and was diagnosed, and I was like, oh. So then I think I wrote to a couple of people and apologized and said, I've just found out that somebody was near, he has COVID, I'm so sorry. And they were like, no, it's fine. So then the next week, I stayed down, stayed away. They were already shutting down headquarters at that point, so I was home there, I was fine, everybody was fine. Or maybe I got it and didn't know it. You know, you don't know with this thing. So, that's one. This last week, or week before last, I had breakfast with a friend, and then found out that he had been diagnosed with COVID, so I wrote him and I said, do you have any idea when? And he wrote back and he said, well, the Greene County Health Department said that he was probably infectious on Friday, which was the day before I went to breakfast with him, so we dodged a bullet there. And then I was supposed to have breakfast with a friend on Saturday, and I heard from him on Friday evening, and he said, I'm so sorry to do this, but I've got to cancel. He said, I'm heading to the emergency room. He said, I've been thrown up and I don't feel well. And so I told him, obviously, be praying for you. So that's three. My son-in-law had it, but they, you know, very wisely protected themselves and kind of as soon as that, I mean, they had sniffles. And even at the sniffle stage, they said, we were supposed to go out to lunch with them. And they just said, you know, woke up with sniffles. We don't know quite what it is. We better hold, which is really good. And then my son-in-law, he ended up losing his sense of smell. And then at that point, he got tested, you know, ta-da. So actually, I've had four close calls now at this point. So far, so good, though. So, and I was just listening to a really interesting, as I was doing my banking, I was listening to a really interesting podcast and talking to an infectious disease expert, and she was talking about masks and the potential benefit of masks not being that you're protecting others from getting it. She said it's, which is kind of a weak message. And then both of them were medical doctors, and they were saying, you know, the messaging on masks has just been terrible. Because at first, everybody was coming out saying, no, don't wear masks, won't do any good unless you're wearing an N95. And then they were like, oh, go ahead and wear a mask. And, you know, and well, wear masks to keep other people from getting it, which is bad messaging. And the reason, one of the reasons that's bad messaging is people don't respond as much to that. But then in addition to that, that then sets up for accusations from the flesh. So it's, if you tell people, well, if you're a good person, you'll wear a mask so that others don't get it, and then you see someone who's not wearing a mask, then it's like, ah, see that person, rah, you know, which is so, it's not bad, stuck it. But anyways, what they were saying, which is really interesting, is that in animals, it's well known that there is, can be, a level of severity that is directly tied to how much of a dose you have of the virus. And she was talking about an LD, D as in dog, 50, that in animal studies, they have what they call an LD50, which is the level of death for 50% of the population. And they have shown in animal studies of viruses that, you know, a lot of times with viruses, it depends on how heavy of a load you get from these viruses. So having that, then you backtrack that into what is the good of wearing a mask. And what she was saying, very respected doctor, according to what the guy was saying about her, what she was saying is that anything helps. Doesn't matter whether it's a surgical mask or a cloth mask. And she said, and I would even say gaiters, because she said there's been some press about how they're no good and you shouldn't wear gaiters. She said, but even gaiters will cut down on the viral load some. And she said, there's growing indication, there's no evidence yet, but there is growing indication that perhaps if you can just cut down some on the viral load, that in fact you'll improve your response to that virus because you won't get as much. Well, that makes perfect sense. It's just been astonishing. I gotta tell you, it's just been astonishing how, ambulance going by. It's just been astonishing how there seems to be so much disagreement, even in the medical community, about how to move forward with this thing. Now granted, we haven't had a pandemic like 1918. We had a pandemic of HIV, but because the transmission, the ways it was transmission, it wasn't, you know. But wow, you know, how much easier would this have been if instead of trying to shoo us all away from N95 masks, someone had said, look, in general, with viruses, the less viral load you have, the lighter your infection, so just wear something. You know, put a scarf around your neck, wear a bandana, just wear something that will cut down that viral load. And please, please, please don't run out and buy N95 masks, because we've got medical personnel that are right on the front line that absolutely need to knock down their ingestion of the viral load so they don't die. So please don't be wearing N95 masks in public. Leave those for the medical community. That message is not hard. It's really, wow. It's just astonishing. So, and that's just one thing that's been astonishing about this whole thing. The other thing is that never before, I was reading an article, that never before have we quarantined all the healthy people. I mean, it's just, oh, so interesting. Of course, it's been an interesting year, and it's going to get more interesting this next week. And it looks like, from some of the states and things, we might not even know who president, which press guy got elected by next Thursday. Oh, man. Interesting times. I mean, I've said this before, but, you know, for me in particular, 2020 has been a fabulous year. I mean, it really has. I have made more friends and had more fun with my friends than in any year I can recall. And I've had more heartwarming moments where people have told me that what I am doing has made a difference in their lives. That's a good thing. And yeah, there's a bunch of craziness stuff going on. Yes, 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 yes. But God is good. God is good. I was reminded, I may not get to my notes this week either. I was talking to a friend last night. He had just received some what could be bad news, and he received what could be even worse news this morning. But I was just encouraging, you know, you don't know the future. You do not know the future. No one knows. And he said, yeah, we've talked about this before. I said, know what your flesh is going to do. Whoa, hey, that wasn't good. I saw it kind of going. Sorry. It slipped off the little cushion here, and wow, that was a big bang. Sorry about that. I'm repositioning it. Sorry. I was hoping we were going to get home without that happening, but it was moving. You know, we talked about the fact that the flesh is always, always going to look at any given situation and tell you that the absolute worst possible outcome is going to happen. But the flesh doesn't know that for sure. It just wants to cause you anxiety and pain. It just wants to cause you grief and to torture you. So, of course, it's going to tell you that. And I told him, the way I try to deal with this is I look straight at it and I say, that is a possibility. Maybe slight, but it is a possibility. Absolutely, it's a possibility. But there's just as good a possibility that everything is going to work out great. And I don't know which it is, but I do know God loves me and that He's going to help me. There's an old story. And I have told this story before, but I really love this story. There's an old story about a man in a village. And he goes out one day to work his fields or something, and this horse just shows up. You know, fairly tame horse shows up. He goes up, talks to the horse. The horse is good, brings the horse back to his village. And he tells him, this horse just came up. Doesn't seem to belong to anybody. And everybody says, oh, it's a blessing. Oh, it's a blessing. You have such a blessing to have a horse. That's a valuable creature to have just come up to you. That's a blessing. And he said, basically says, don't call it a blessing. Don't call it a curse. Let's just say that a horse came up to me and now I have a horse. A few days go by, the horse disappears, takes off. The village people say, oh, it's a curse. It's a curse. It's a curse. You must be cursed. And he says, don't call it a blessing. Don't call it a curse. Simply say, I had a horse and the horse left. A couple of days go by. The horse comes back, except he brings like 4 or 5 other wild horses with him. Everybody says, oh, it's a blessing. You must be blessed. God must look favorably on you. And he says, look, don't call it a blessing. Don't call it a curse. Just say a horse came by, had more horses. Now I have more horses. And his son was out trying to train the horses. One of the horses bucks him off. Son breaks his leg. Everybody says, oh, the horses, it's a curse. It's a curse. You must be cursed to get these horses and then have your son's leg broken. Say it's not a blessing. Let's say it's a curse. Let's just blah, 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 blah. Then like the next week, the king's men come through the village and they grab all the young men in the village to go serve in the king's army, except for the kid who has the broken leg. Oh, it's a blessing. Say it's not a blessing. Say it's not a curse. It's just what happened. And you know, I think we would be well served if we would do that. If we wouldn't try to flail around and predict what is going to come about because of what? If we just say, okay, so that just happened. Is there something immediate that I need to do to respond to this? Or do I just need to wait to see what's going to happen next? And if I just need to wait to see what's going to happen next, I should just wait. I shouldn't listen to the flesh trying to tell me a horror story about what just has happened. And honestly, I shouldn't necessarily listen to the flesh trying to tell me how glorious that something is that happened. That's not to say we can't enjoy our accomplishments and can't enjoy good moments. Of course we can. I've had lots and lots of good moments. But they're not frenetic moments. I mean, they're just fun and wonderful and enjoyable and it's not like, and now I never have to work again. It's not like that. It's just like, well, this was fun and we'll do it again next week. So I think there is a lot of wisdom in just tempering our knee-jerk reactions, in tempering the hair-on-fire frantic reactions to stuff. Because we certainly have plenty of hair-on-fire reactions at this point to stuff. So, this is the big week. We'll see what happens on Tuesday. So fascinating. So fascinating. We'll see. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.